to see a woman friend of ours, Mrs. Doble, over in Edmonton, Alberta. And we're just 20 miles of the Canadian line when we got the news that my brother was dying. So we turned right around through a snowstorm and started right back home, making us 11 days in travel. And we got in late last evening and up late last night and early again this morning, so very tired. But as soon as I got to my mother, after we got a place where we could call in again, she said, "Brother Neville has been out there." That's a real pastor, folks. That's something we should appreciate that. Maybe your loved ones have never come to that spot. Maybe, but in an hour of crisis, when you know that something has taken place and know that a friend will stick by and run out to my brother. And then when I went, as soon as I got in, just changed clothes and tucked out there, who did I find in the room in prayer? For Brother Neville. Out in the room there with Howard in prayer. I'm grateful for that. And I'd rather say it right here at the platform. As I've always said, I'd rather give you a little rosebud now than a whole wreath after you're gone. Right now is the time to do it. And I appreciate Brother Neville. I know we all do around this church for being a gallant pastor. Just to show him how much you appreciate, raise your hands like this to God. That's thank you. That's really something that I went home and I told my wife. I said, "Honey, when I went and knocked at the door, slipped down the hall, read the chart, see really what was wrong, and went out there, and I heard something in there, and I tapped the door, thought it was someone talking. He hadn't set up in the bed, but his Bible, and he pulled up with her head down, praying to God when I went in. Put me nothing that's gone but in his prayer. And also my prayer, tell God that I appreciate a real friend and a real pastor. And may Brother Neville long live in this world to serve the Lord. And I believe God's keeping here for many, many years to serve him, someone that God has struck my heart deeper than anything I've had in a long time. Now, usually I was at Sunday school classes and dismissed yet back in the children. So perhaps maybe we'll pray for the sick. I didn't make any announcement of coming in praying for the sick, but if there's any here to be prayed for, then we'll just have prayer for them. Now, if Sister Gertie, if she will come up, play a great position for us, and we'll ask our dear Heavenly Father if he will bless those who are needy of him today. And then we want you, all that's sick and needy, just gather up around the altar. If I'm not mistaken, is this Nellie Sanders coming here? God bless you, Nellie. 25 years ago in here. God bless you. I looked over a while ago and looked at you, and I didn't want you to think, gazing at someone. I kept looking back, and I thought it looked like Nellie. None of you here probably remember. I guess somebody, how many remember Nellie Sanders? Why, certainly. And she's one of the first comers to the tabernacle. She and my departed wife were bosom friends and sisters in Christ. And she married over here one of the volunteers in America, officer in this move, and he, our brother, has gone on to be with God, leaving her, I think, with two boys, I think, some children anyhow, and some of them still in school, and Nellie's wandering by herself, and just coming into the age of real nervous and upset. She called me when I was in Phoenix, Arizona, in a meeting for prayer. Many things go back, Nellie, to a time when the sawdust on the floor, and you and Hope, that ad hoc girl, and a lot of you used to be around here many years ago, 25 years ago. She's passing by me. We're going down the road swiftly, that's true.
Amen.
Well, God be with you now. Those who are sick want to come up around the altar for prayer. Our pastor and I join together in a word of prayer for you. Come right ahead. Now, look. Immediately after this, a sharp message just to the other preaching service, which you could say we'll dismiss the Sunday school service after the prayer for the sick. And we're going right into the other service, and I got a couple announcements to make. This great physician now is near. the sympathizing Jesus. He seeks the drooping hearts to share no other name but Jesus. How we just enter in now to a fellowship of this prayer, healing for each other, knowing that God is here to promise the answer. Yes, that's all right. We'll go down and pray for her. The lady's sitting down. All right, Brother Neville, would you come help? If you'll be just reverent as possible, the little fellows are taking their seats, and let's pray now so that when we go down to anoint the sick and afflicted, we're going to have faith in God to believe.
Oh,
have faith that God will. All of you out there in the audience as well this morning don't need to come around the altar. Just think now that it was God's grace that brought you here. Now you pray for these others that are at the altar here, young and old. As they're coming here to the tabernacle, we send the pastor anointing, we pray for them, and then send the pastor anointing. I come along with him laying hands on the sick while he anoints him. The scripture, anoint the sick and all in the name of the Lord. Lay hands on them, and they shall recover. The scripture. Now all of you together, if you bow your heads now while we offer prayer together for the sick. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly come into Thy divine presence just now in the way for the needy, the sick. Those who cannot help themselves, and many of them, Father, are past doctor's aid. Nothing can be done except Thy grace be extended to them. I pray humbly today, God, with all my heart, joining with this little church, that the great Holy Spirit that's present now to verify the word of the Lord Jesus that says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in their midst. If they'll ask anything as pertaining to any certain thing, shall receive it. At your eternal word, Lord, that was spoken even before the foundation of the world. Been given to us by the prophet, by the Son of God Himself. Now our deep desire, now, Father, is for You to heal the sick, the needy that's here around the altar. I pray that You just give each one a special blessing of faith just now, that as we go, Your servant and myself to anoint and lay hands upon the people. May the Holy Spirit just deep down the faith in the heart and may each one be healed. We ask in Christ's name for His sake. Now with your head bowed, everybody in prayer, Pastor and I go to pray. Morning and go from prisons of unbelief and be free as we walk. We know the angel of the Lord will go before us confirming the word of God and free every one of us from the prisons of fear and sickness and distress and disease and affliction. For God has promised you, everyone that's shut up in them kind of a conditions this morning, may the light of God shine in upon them just this very day. May they go from here a well person. Thank you for the message, for your word, for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Grant these blessings, Father, and now be with us in the preaching service of this morning for the little short message coming up. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, for just a couple of moments, those who have to go now, let's just stand while we sing a hymn. And take the name of Jesus with you. Those who have to go can be dismissed. Those who can stay for another 30 minutes, we'd be glad for you to stay. All right.
Take the name of Jesus.
The devil keeps that away from you as much as he can just for me to realize what the value of a soul is. Did you ever just imagine what it is and what eternity means and how long you're going to be that way?
Amen.
Realize this is the time when you make your decision for eternity.
Amen.
Last Sunday with you here, I believe I preached on the assurance of how that God had promised and ordained you and called you before the foundation of the world and put your name in His book.
Amen.
You had nothing to do with it. God did it. Isn't that wonderful? The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And why? It never happened until 4,000 years later. But God, when He spoke it, He had to do it. Because He has to keep His word. And the same time that the Lamb was wrote down, you were wrote with Him.
Amen.
Our names were written in the Lamb's book of life, not the night we come to Christ, but before the foundation of the world. The
Bible. Amen.
So that's the assurance. And Brother touched on that this morning in this marvelous Sunday school reading. Now, let's just read for a scripture somewhere, just for a little. I want just something that's on my heart. I'd just like to speak it for a few moments, and then we'll dismiss. And expect the services again tonight. And now, I got a message on my heart coming down the other day. And I want, if God willing, if I'm back here next Sunday morning to bring it to the tabernacle for the first,
amen,
just something that's on my heart of the time I went into a place to eat. And I thought, well, am I going crazy? What's the matter with me? I can't stand this music, all this your stuff that you have today, these silly women singing down out of an ivory palace or, and all this. I said, it must be something wrong with me. And the Holy Spirit said, oh, no. Oh, no. If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not even in you. So I thought, well, I don't want to get adjusted then to this world. Then the Holy Spirit began to reveal this message to me. I wouldn't have time this morning. It's too tired. Besides, maybe the Lord willing, next Sunday morning, if we're still around, I got some trips to make this week, but if I'm still around next Sunday morning, God willing, Brother Neville announced on his broadcast on Saturday, and we'll be in trying to bring this message. I want you to try to bring it somewhere. It's a gospel message of the day, hour, and season. I had predicted 6 months ago that this was the closing year for America. And we'll see what it is according to the gospel or not.
Amen.
This is the time when she's gone.
Amen.
She's either going up or down this year.
Amen.
Right. Now, you young children, I want you to bring me a piece of paper and write it in a flyleaf of your Bible that when Brother Branham's done passed on for him, you see whether I was right or wrong. And
Amen.
You know whether the Lord still speaks or not. Now, in Romans, the 4th chapter, I want to read just for a portion of words to continue on. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has wrought the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And may the Lord add His blessing to the word. Now the little subject, if they just call it so, that I wish to speak to you about, is divine love. And when divine love has been projected and comes to its destination, sovereign grace takes its place.
Amen.
Can you think of that? Ponder over so we get it real close now. See? When divine love is projected,
amen,
and comes to its destiny, then sovereign grace takes over.
Amen.
Now,
it's
a strange thing that how the people, the type of people and what we do in our association, we all have to face these facts. that there is people that you just love to be around. And there's people that find people, and you love them, but yet there's something about the person that you just can't hardly stay around. Now, we want to talk of facts. Now, the reason that is because of the atmosphere that the individual himself or herself creates. Because you are a miniature creator.
Amen.
Because you're sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
No matter how far you've stooped in sin, you're still sons and daughters of God. Because you're fallen, degenerated in your soul and mind. But God is your creator. And in your fallen estate, you are lost, undone, creation of God, dominated by the devil. That's right. But still, your sons and daughters of God is not willing that any of you should perish, but all might come to repentance. And he's done everything that lays possible for the only God himself to do this, to give the opportunities to the creatures of his to accept them to be what he wants you to be, back in your right estate again. And no person, now here it is in this free shot, but no person is in their right mental status until they have accepted the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That's a deep word, but that's the truth. No person is mentally right until they have accepted Christ Jesus as personal Savior.
Amen.
That sounds strange, but it's the Bible.
Amen.
Certainly. That is true. He is the one, and in your created being, now you'll be crazy to the world when you do that. Because you have to come out of the atmosphere you're in into this other atmosphere.
Amen.
When you do that, God lifts you right up from the world, and you live in a heavenly atmosphere.
Amen.
And then to the world, you're just contrary to what that is. See? And this is contrary to the world.
Amen.
See, now, what you want to do is be lifted up by Christ into an atmosphere to where you are happy,
amen,
peaceful, and then in there you create a situation. And now, many times, we in churches, this may seem strange, but if you just watch it, now, this is for the church, it's for the people. The people get one another's spirit, and instead of getting the Holy Spirit, you go into a group of people and you watch the ways that a person acts, and then find people that come into that congregation. The first thing you know, they act the same way. You take a good woman and a bad man, and he'll either become a good man or her a bad woman. In the atmosphere that you live in, you project to your associates what you are. Then what type of people ought we to be if we're Christians?
Amen.
What type of atmosphere should we live in? In a controlling, soothing, healing atmosphere we should live in. With our hearts constantly in prayer, with a deep love for every person we come in contact with. Nothing. If I say this to the little churches, pray for me for the world mission, that's my success in praying for the sick. If I can't get right down into the ceiling of the sickness with the person, it usually doesn't do any good. You've got to come right down till it's just, and you feel it yourself. Here some time ago, an old Mexican man, down there on the platform, when he runs to the platform, much faith, he fell down, grabbed out his rosary. I told him, not necessary. And to the interpreter, Brother Pinoza, so he raised up, he put his arms down again, going some way, he was blind. I looked at him, old wrinkled up feet, probably never wore a pair of shoes in his life. I looked at my shoes, see if it fit him. I'd give him a shoe. He was blind. Now I looked, he was a wider across his shoulders.
Big man, weighed 200 and something, I guess. He couldn't wear him a coat. And as he was standing there in the gray hair, I thought of my daddy. I thought if daddy would have lived to be about this age, he would have been about the same age man as this, around 65 or 70 years old. And I entered into a love of that man. The way that I thought maybe he never had a decent meal in his life. Maybe he never sat down at a table in his life. And all this, and then walking around in darkness. Then something come into my heart. God be merciful. He's a man. He's a brother. Then, when that strikes, there's something in our
heaven.
There's a creation moves around. And it's projected to this person. In a few moments, I heard him hollering something over my shoulder, and he was hollering, I can see, I can see.
Amen.
What was it? Divine love.
Amen.
Sympathy has been projected by the Holy Spirit into this man. And by that, at the end of the road where he couldn't, nothing could be done, and love had taken its place, and love had met love, then sovereign grace went to work.
Amen.
And God, through sovereign grace, restored the sight to the man. See, first you had to enter into that spot. That's what you had to do to a sinner. Many people pray for sinners. That's all right. But that's not the way to win a sinner. It's your business to win the sinner. You don't win him by praying for him. You win him by talking to him and introducing to him Christ. That's your business. That's your duty. Is to win sinners by talking to them and protecting to them the love of God through the Word of God that wins the sinner. Someone said, I'm going to go to church. I sure like that woman. I like that fellow. See, because you're winning them. If you stayed home and you prayed for the sinner and never went to contact him, there's very little can be done. But you've got to pray and then go. That's right. Go and do it. Now, the projecting of this love. Here a few days ago, I was listening to a testimony of a great plow manufacturer standing on the platform. Well, there's that businessman from around the world standing on the platform, and this plowman, he got up and said, well, I didn't know why I had to be operated on. And I love the man. And he's a great follower of Brother Robert, our friend. And so once, he said, when I found out that I was getting sick and having stone trouble, kidney stone, I went to eat dinner with Brother Oral. And so Brother Oral got up and said, now, Brother, I see that you're in distress. So he said, I'm going to pray for you. And he said, well, praise the Lord. I just want you to say that, Brother Oral. And said, Oral, come over and put his hands on his kidneys. And said, I'll rebuke this kidney stone and to leave this man immediately. And said, when he did it, said, I got relief. And said, just a little while, he come back again. Said, I went again to Brother Oral. And said, he prayed again. I got relief. But the every time we come back, it comes worse. And he said that. The next thing I thought of, if I could go down, he said, to Brother Branham, and could stand before him, and the Holy Spirit would come to him, he would tell me then why that I didn't get healed when Brother Oral prayed for me. So he made his way out, and he comes to Louisiana. I was in service with there. And I stood before him for 20 minutes. The Holy Spirit was mute, didn't say a thing. I prayed for him. And he said he felt better. And he come on down, and he went getting nervous, excited. He went from place to place. Everybody prayed for him, prayed for him. And he loved the Lord. But finally he got to a place and he was shipped him off to Mayo. Mayo looked him over and said, you got one chance out of 1,000 of living. Instead of an infection, your whole body's poison and uremic and all, oh, forget what all. Says you got one chance out of 1,000. So he said, I took it. He said, prayed, "Oh God, you know I love you." And I went to all your servants, and he took the chance and he put him to sleep. And said, when he woke up in the room, he said there's a light shining in the room, and the glory of God was all around him. And the doctors were astonished.
Amen.
They come in and say, "Well, what's happened here?" Why should I feel like going home?
Amen.
What was it? See, it built his hopes up on, if anything ever happens to me, I'll go to Brother Robert. If that fails, I'll go to Brother Grant. And yet he loved the Lord Jesus. God had to let everything else fail to lay him there on his death, even when the doctor said, "We can't do nothing." And then when divine love had come to its end, all this great kept and perfect praise.
Hallelujah. He'll do it every time. If your motives are right, your alternatives are right, if you have divine love and believe, walk out without nothing. When it comes to look at the end of the road, it comes then, Father's grace takes
Amen.
How I have seen it work. How I've noticed it in my own life. And not by just a theology, or not by some kind of somebody else's experience.
I'm so glad today that I can talk from a personal experience to know that that is the truth. Why do we fear then? As long as we know the love of Christ is resting divinely in our hearts, that we pass from death unto life, all demons out of hell have got a chance. Even if death, if you'll continue
Amen.
In that love and faith,
yes.
It's just like a little baby.
Amen.
You take a little baby, I'll show you so the little fellows can get it. Here's Mrs. Kelly sitting here before us. What a drunken soldier. I believe it was running into him out there. And she's picked up for dead here. They put her in the hospital unconscious. But everything had failed and she was hourly. And yet with the love of God and her husband sent over, went in there that day and then sovereign grace was protected as the divine love. And here she sits this morning among us that are today. See, it's something that happens.
Amen.
When you get to the end of your road, when you get to where you can't move, then it's time God will move in by sovereign grace. The thing that you see, you take a little kid, a little baby, they have a little cough and spasm, and they'll scream and kick and holler, and the first thing you know, they'll hold their breath, and you'll see a mother grab it and pet it, throw it up in the air, throw it in the face, let it alone! There's never been in our medical history one ever died like that. They won't die. He's just having a tantrum. He's trying to get sympathy. He's trying to get some humor in. And it's just a temper spell. And after he gets his temper spell to the place, he's held his breath where he can't go no further. Then nature steps in. And he relaxes and starts breathing again. All you're picking up and screaming his face, hollering and going in his face makes him worse. That's the way it is out when we travel from church to church, from pillar to post, from healing service to healing service.
Amen.
Brother!
Hallelujah.
Take love and go forward. The road God will protect. Holy Christ, when you come to the road. When love has met its seal, God's obligated to him. When you come to your end and man says, "There he is," then grace takes over. God's nature to do so.
How I've noticed it. How the one I did certain excuse his personal testimony now for a minute. You've read the book out there that day and poor one are you when that maniac run to the platform is going to kill me. All of you've read that perhaps from the book. What's taking place? God sent me to preach the gospel.
Amen.
That I was doing. Thousands of people were gathered in the streets of standing full. 60-some-odd hundred in the inside, that poured down rain, and the people standing there, their hearts were longing, hungry. That's where no one else was on the field. Tinsel was on the meeting. And it had to pull you through crowds and everything else, and police escorts get to him.
I was into a room, and there led two little officers to Christ over in the dressing room.
Amen. Two young boys on the police force in their early 20s. One of their mothers had been healed the night before, and they both bowed there, and I led them to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Walking out on the platform to speak faith, all of a sudden a maniac who had hit a preacher down the street that afternoon broke out of an institution, broke his collarbone, broke his jaw. He had a mania to kill preachers. Running and thought, this is my chance. Up to the platform he comes, weighing about 250 or 260, nearly 6 foot, 10 inches tall, swinging his hands back and forth. He said, you hypocrite, you snake in the grass.
Bye. keep them from saving me. How is that the end? For I have love. God gave love to those women, and I spoke to them in my breath, and the Holy Spirit and fire and grace guided those hornets right back into their nest.
How far down the road, old Guernsey, is that Henry Dale one day? This big old bull out here killed this colored man. That red farm out here. Killed the colored man, almost killed that west boy the same way they sold him out on the farm. I didn't know I was patrolling. Folks, the pack of gun, I didn't have it. One day crossing, I thought I'd go over there and pray for some sick person. I went across that field, not thinking about that bull being in that field. And I got way out in the middle of the field. What happened? First thing you went up out of the clump of bushes, this big bottom full of stood long horns like that, and he let out a roar. I knew that was that killer. I looked back, not too far from the fence, about 200 yards. He wasn't standing 30, 40 feet from me. There he stood, threw his horns down, let out a great big bow. I didn't have no gun, a little tree to get into. I couldn't go back to the fence. I thought, well, this is the end. You'll brand in the earth where you meet your doom to be mauled to death, gored to death out here in the field. I stood there, but all of a sudden, something in the head of the head of the head. The glory of God. Something came into my heart, and I thought, I disturbed that poor animal. It's not that poor animal. It's the devil that makes it do it.
At exactly 7 o'clock. The plane will leave at 7:30. Thank you, sir. I'm up.
I got time maybe to run to a post office box, got some mail here answered last night. I got out and started down the street, going down the street singing.
There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all on flame.
With the fire that fell on Pentecost, that cleansed and made them clean.
Oh, ring now within my heart, oh, glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Amen.
Going down the street with a bunch of letters in my hand,
going towards the post office, I felt something strange. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Just like everything is settled down.
Amen.
Oh, what a feeling. Oh, my, isn't this wonderful?
Doc used to sing a little song, "Let Me Walk with the Heavenly Dove. Fill my way each day with love." I used to think of that. And this love began to pour down. Oh, entry! We got love, but we need the abundance of love.
Amen.
The overflowing of love.
You say, "Well, I love sinners." But, oh, brother, sister, do you love them well enough to go out and talk to them and woo them to Christ? See what I mean? You say, "I love the Lord." But can you trust him when the doctor shakes his head? Can you trust him when everything else is gone? You need an overflowing baptism of love.
Amen.
Divine love.
When it seems like when you pray and your prayer is not answered, do you still love him? Is there something that keeps purging you on? That God's sovereign grace has to take over.
Amen.
It's got to. It's God's nature. God can't do nothing else but do that.
When God seen the sin of this world and seen that man was dying without hope and could not be saved, and yet he knows that man would love him, it strained God.
Yes.
And it proved his nature.
Amen.
God's nature is love. God is love.
Praise.
And it strained God's nature until he had to provide a way of escape for those who were to escape.
Amen.
And he came into the world, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, to bear our sins and sickness to Calvary.
Amen.
God did it. The love of God going out called for sovereign grace.
Amen.
And God never said, "If you do it, if you do this, I'll do this." God, without any conditions, he sent his son to die in your place and save us.
Amen.
Had nothing to do with what you think about it. God did it anyhow.
Amen.
Amen.
Divine love, such as strange. Sovereign grace has to take its place.
That's all there is.
When divine love is set to the right place. Listen closely. That morning when I got out of the plane,
got out of the hotel, started walking down the street. I was going along singing. All at once, something seemed to pour down on me. A great shower of love. I thought, "Oh, if I could just only. Oh, I believe the way I feel if I could just see somebody to pray for." That's where you feel. When there's something in your heart pouring.
The other day,
may I stop just a moment again? The other day, little Sarah got sick. When we started off, it was so hot, and I've been up every night, getting about 2 hours sleep. Delegates from all over the different parts of the world had to meet this and that and pray and preach 3 times a day. Oh, war, how? I was just going, and then I got out behind the lake. And there was old few miles out sitting, I was so sleepy, even early in the morning, that I had to lay down on the side of the road and sleep. Little few minutes, got up and started again. I just couldn't hold my eyes open, trying to plow home to get to this woman across the hot, burning desert of Nebraska. Going through there, and I was holding my little stairs at the heat and the gagging, poor little thing that's been sick all night. Next morning, she was so sick, we just had to stop the car and just whiten her face. And I was so tired and bored. Oh, God. Oh, the situation. Terrible, God. Look here, I can't drive. I'm so tired. I've been out there with your people trying to do the best I could. And little Sarah was so sick. Well, we went and I went over there and put my hands on her. I said to her, "Heavenly Father, you give me this child. This is yours."
Amen.
I'm only raised her. I laid my hands up for her, something began to move down in my heart.
Amen.
That ended the moment.
Never thought once more from that day to this.
The second day, Becky started real sick like a virus and vomited. Little thing vomited all night. Next day, Needy said, "We'll get some Pepto-Bismol, pour out a couple of spoons to give it to her." Little thing just vomited right up. We got into the pecans when it hit out of the hot country starting up. She wanted to see the beautiful mountains. She couldn't do it. She's so sick. I said, honey, look, y'all take the daddy, we'll take your picture so you can see the mountain there. Oh, daddy, I just feel like I'm dying. And so we give her another Pepto-Bismol. We offer prayer that morning, said, Lord, have mercy. And oh, that didn't do no good. So we got up there, I got her out of the honey, get out the fresh air. Cold, she had a little jacket on. No, we're laying around on the ground. So I got out and she's trying to. Yes, Daddy. So, and the water just come out of her little mouth. I looked at her eyes, sitting back, and her mouth just was wide around as it could be. I walked around, looked up towards the mountain, and I was looking through the hills, and what's coming to my head?
Amen.
My head coming to the Lord. So, once something began to purge down in me.
Amen.
Oh, I wish I could have it all the time. I walked over there at the side of the car, and wasn't there. I was looking at you, Daddy, honey. Oh, my, that shame of all the prayer.
Amen.
Oh, there's some nancies running around playing with Sarah. What is it?
When she finds love, it's rejected.
Why did they take this place? It's half due. Down the street that morning, walking in Memphis, back to Missouri, walking down the street, Memphis, a saying to the Lord, and all at once, something said, stop. And I stopped. Oh, I just said, turn and go back the other way. Well, that was towards the river. I thought, oh my, I walked to the bar, I thought, well, I just thought about it. You know, you're impressed, you know, a lot of times. And a lot of times people make mistakes with following impressions instead of divine leading. So I just started going, I thought, if that was just, I felt, oh, Father, I got the worst of God. I stepped up in a little side place, looked around, just some fishy things laying around. I thought it would act like people passing by, just looking at fishy things. When I got everybody kind of left the walk, that group before the light turned, I said, kind Heavenly Father, what were you wanting me to do when that tree is moving on my heart? I just feel like I'm bursting on the inside. Just something pouring out. Something said, turn and go back. I said, where did you? Said, turn and go back. Don't make a difference where you, just keep on going.
Amen.
I turned and started walking back down the street. I walked. I looked at my watch. It's still urging me. It's past time. Went a little farther past time. 7:30 left. At 8 o'clock, oh, my, my, my. I dug up way back down where it's just kind of like colored houses. A lot of little colored houses down there, way down. And I was walking along there, the sun was way up high then, early spring, clouds all gone. I thought, well, I missed my plane, but I thought, oh, God, it's all right if I missed the plane, just as long as you, where are you leading me to, Lord? I don't know where you're taking me. Where am I going? None of my business, just keep on walking. I just walked on. After a while, I looked hanging out over the gate, like this. There was a typical old Aunt Jemima, hanging across the gate with big fat sheep, got a man's shirt wrapped around her head like this, and tied in the back. I was walking over, I got your tears running down her big fat cheeks like that. She looked over at me and said, good morning, Parson. And I said, ma'am, I said, good morning. She kind of looked at me, tears in her eyes. So she called me Parson. That's what they call a preacher in the South, you know. I said, how'd you know I was a parson? She said, I know you was coming. What? She said, I know you was coming.
Okay.
I said, I don't understand, Andy. Would you tell me? She says, you know, did you ever read that story about the Shunammite woman who didn't have any children and she asked the Lord to give her a child and said, and Elisha come and blessed her and she got a child? I said, yes, ma'am, I remember that. She said, I was that kind of woman. That I didn't have any children. And I prayed to the Lord, and I told the Lord, if he would bless me and give me a child, then I would raise it for him. He said, he gave me a child. And said, I washed over the washboard of the old haunt there on the side. Said, I washed over the washboard to raise this child. And she said, when he got big, Parson, he's taken the wrong road. And he said, he got out with the wrong company. And he's laying in here dying. And said, the doctor man was here day before yesterday when he went unconscious and said he could never do no more for him. Give him six off six silver sand and everything else, mercury and penicillin, nothing venereal, citrus, going to eat the fowls out of his heart. And said, there's nothing that can be done for him. And said, he was laying here dying. And said, oh, Lord, I just want to see my baby die like that. And said, if I could just hear him say that he was saved. And said, I prayed and I prayed for two nights. Said this morning about 3 o'clock, said the Lord put me to sleep, kneeling on my knees. Said I dreamed a dream that I saw a man coming.
with a light suit on, wearing a little half-western hat put on his side of his head. I said, Lord, I was the woman before you, Elijah. And here it comes. So I got right up out of that bed, and I've been standing right here ever since waiting for you. That's the way I dress.
Exactly.
Oh, brother, when divine love is protected,
that mother with her baby, you're 180 pounds, but it's still her baby,
laying dying in disgrace.
No matter how disgraceful he was, it was her baby. She loved him. That's a mother's love. No matter how much disgrace he brought, she still loved him.
Amen.
And if you can't forget your baby, no matter what, then how much more can God not forget you? He said your names are engraved on the palm of my hand. A mother may forget her sucking baby, but never will I forget you. No matter what she's done, how far back she's gone, how much she's got in you. God is still with you. God loves you. Keep that glass moving on. Don't let it fail.
She said, hey, I just couldn't do it. And she said, Parson, I dreamed a dream and I saw you coming.
Hey. And then when I looked down the street and I saw that little light suit, that little hat that was beside my head, but the spirit said to me, there he is.
He said, won't you come in? I thought, oh God.
I thought maybe this is what you led me to. This is the reason I was supposed to come. I didn't know. I opened up the gate and had a chain and a popcorn on it. I don't know where this went around. I opened up the little old door and went in. Brother, I've been in King Palaces. I've been in the richest homes there is in the world. I've been in some of the mountain millionaires worth $28 million. I've walked on the rugs when it was chenille from one side to the other, when I could lay down and sleep easy on the doormat with a lovely home. But there was not even a rug on the floor and a little old poster on bed that he had. Oh, I gave him a little blanket pulled up over this boy and a sign on the door. God bless our home. I knew I was in the presence of a Christian home.
Amen.
I knew that I was somewhere where prayer was made. Not no pants on the wall, not no vulgar pictures, but the Bible laying open on a little old marble top table laying there.
And a big boy laying there in
the bed, covers in table. I said, oh, my belly seat, it was sticky and cold. Death was on the boy.
Hallelujah.
And he kept saying, oh, it's so dark. It's so dark. And I said, what's he talking about? She said, Parson said he hadn't been thinking for a lot of the many days now that he's out on the big sea log. Said he don't know where he's going. And said, I was hurting my heart. Said he's going away and he's lost out on the sea. And he don't know where he's going. He said, Parson, I prayed. I've done everything. I don't want him lost, Parson. And so that's why I was praying. I said, Auntie, what's wrong with the boy? She said, it's a venereal disease. The doctor man said he's dying. Nothing more can be done. He said, he's unconscious. He's been lost on the sea for 2 days. She said, will you pray for him? I said, Auntie, my name is Branham. Did you ever hear me? She said, no, sir. I don't believe I ever did, Parson. I said, well, I'm going to tell you a story. I said, my ministry's praying for the sick. She said, it is. I said, yes. And I said, it's told her about the plane coming down and everything. She said, is that the truth, Parson? I said, well, I know he wouldn't let me down. I said, you offer prayer, Amy.
She got down there and you talk about a prayer. Oh, brother, how that old saint could get a hold of God.
And there she prayed till the tears rolled out of her eyes. I looked up and he kept going, mm. And I said, now, Andy, I'll pray. You know, along with me. I put my hands over on his seat. I said, Heavenly Father, my plane's done gone as far as I know. And here this poor old mother was crying for her baby. And as far as I know, this is what you led me to. I pray that you'll be merciful to me just about that time.
I would say, Mammy.
Oh, Mammy.
She raised up and wiped the tears out of her eyes. She said, yes, honey.
Mommy's baby's feeling better. Began to pat him on the head. He said, Mama, it's getting light in the room.
Hey.
Getting light in the room. Power, love, divine love has been projected to the heart of God. Power and grace have answered its place. I think of the poor mother there holding on with her prayer to God. And all this, and then what happened? God in His grace, God in His mercy, would bring an airplane out of the sky.
Amen.
And hurl it underground.
Amen.
To answer the prayer of a poor ignorant colored woman. When divine love was rejected, no matter how pillar she was, how black she was, how yellow she was, there she was. When divine grace is rejected, Father's grace has taken place.
Let the little mother ask how she cried. And the boy, a few, about 2 years after that, I went down and saw the train going down. I got off and went up there to get me a hamburger. They wanted about 70 or 80 cents for it on the plane, and I, on the train, and I could buy it for about 20 cents in the little stand. I got off the train, started down. There's a red guy. I said, "Hello, Parson Branham." I looked around and I said, "Good morning, son." Old man said, "Don't you know me?" I said, "No, I don't believe I do." "Said, you remember about 2 years ago when you come down and pray for me and my man?" I said, "Are you
on the side of the porch, or that brother Cox sitting by me. Only was that, and I couldn't even stand it anymore.